Blog Talk Radio.
Contestants, good evening. This is Bilal Masadik Bynum of Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association. I am speaking to you live from my studio here in Washington, D.C. We are speaking live here, and I'm trying to get my studio here to where I can go in and bring in my... but anyway, we're speaking to you live here at our station here in Washington, D.C. I'm having problems with our...
Greetings there, brother.
Okay. Again, this is Bilal Bynum, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street. Speaking to you live here in Washington, D.C., and along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. I throw him a leg of a greeting, brother Lau.
Okay, yeah, direct connect. Thought we had it working. But now we're back to... But anyway, we're back. We're connected. Can you hear me pretty clear?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Then, like I said, welcome back to another edition of New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Association. Of course, you know, we've been off the air for the last 30 days. They're going through the holy month of Ramadan. So, now that Ramadan is completed, we're back on the air, and we're going to continue our business discussions. Before we went off the air, Brother Aziz, we were talking about African-American financial institutions, and, of course, we had located all of the so-called black banks that's still in existence since Black Belt Wall Street during the time of the Black Belt Business District. And some of these banks are still in existence. And we found and we did a research and located many of them. We have some of our state directors communicating with these banks, and the banks was very optimistic about coming on our show and presenting themselves because the African-American community, along with myself, I didn't realize the number of black that we had any black banks. other than a few that I know that was right here in Washington, D.C., but to have them all over the, in many, many different states was a discovery for many of us. But in any case, we did locate black banks, and we're in communications, and some of those owners, the spokespersons for the banks, have said that they want to come on to the show and present their banks, and we look forward to having that done. Because, as you can see, this is a continuation of our titles that we've been having ongoing, and that is The Power of the Black Dollar. And we talked about and we took a close look at our currency income, or cash flow, I would say. And we looked at, we kept doing statistics on the monies that we spend as consumer spendings, as consumer spenders. And we know that in 2023, stat shows that we spent as African Americans $1.4 trillion in consumer spendings last year alone. And then, of course, we the monies we put into taxation, and you can go ahead and add another trillion. And then the huge amount of monies that we put from our religious organizations, mainly our black churches, but now we have many masjids that is a part of our communities. But in any case, whether it's the church or whether it's the masjid, the monies are still going into the banks. And these banks that our monies are going into are not banks in the black communities. These are banks that are in the Caucasian communities. You notice there are no banks in our communities, just about nowhere in the country. But at the same time, we're putting in trillions of dollars into these banks, whether it's, and we, like I said, we just simply looked at our consumer spendings. $1.9 trillion. We looked at our taxations that we are paying out, and a trillion is easy to come up with. And then we looked at the huge amount of money that our religious organizations put into the churches. And each one of them, well, you can put $1 trillion into each one of those entities. Now, that amount of monies, and we ain't talking about, we're just looking at those three entities. We're not doing, there are many, many other places we spend our monies and it's still going to the banks. And these banks that we put our monies into, the huge amount of monies we put into every week, especially us on a Sunday, where those deposits come through our churches, Monday morning, the banks their monies is going into the Federal Reserve and being cleared so it can come back to the communities. And when the Federal Exchange Commissioner starts sending monies back to the communities, back to the banks, it sends our monies and everybody's monies that was positive, billions of dollars, all back to the white banks. The white banks, in terms, when businesses open up 9 o'clock that morning, until the banks close at 4 o'clock, soon as the businesses open up, the businesses are selling their commercial paper, whether it's a new car or whether it's a credit card you opened or you went shopping, or it's all about paper that is being presented to the banks, and the banks are buying everybody's business, buying their paper when they send it over to the banks, and the banks are buying the papers, and now they, of course, as far as who you got to pay your debt to, is the bank is you're paying your car note all to the banks and whatever, because the cooperation of people are selling their papers to the bank every day. So our monies and everybody's monies is being sold and distributed back to the communities where banks are giving loans and dispensing the funds that are coming in, because money have to make money, and so that money is going back to the communities. And all you got to do if you're a part of the communities is walk into the bank and say, I want to put up a business, a shopping a mall. I want to put up a store. I want to put up a whatever type, a car dealership. I want to put up this and I want to put up that. But I want to incorporate a business, and there's no problem with Caucasians walking into a bank and the bank finance them to put up that business that they're trying to put up, because banks make monies when the communities is making monies. Monies is no good just sitting still. So when you make your deposits into the banks, the cooperative world is now selling their papers, and the bank is buying their papers. And so you go to a car dealership and pay $50,000 for a car, and after they tell you your credit is good, they send you a credit application to the bank. The bank buys the credit application for $50,000, put a surcharge on you for $20,000. You walk out holding $75,000 for your car, less your down payment, and that's what you have to pay back to the bank. But the car dealership, he's getting paid as soon as he sends the papers. So the bank is buying papers. That's what I mean. And the same thing in any type of retail where you just sign your name on a piece of paper, that piece of paper is being sold every day. Deposits are made into the banks, and the banks is buying this paper. And monies is being made by the billions every day from these transactions on your deposits. The only problem is that when it comes to the distribution of the monies from these banks, it goes only into white communities. Black communities have been redlining, and that redlining has been going on now ever since the early 40s or the early 50s, right after World War II. And that redlining is still going on. So we're putting monies into these banks as to where they're making huge amount of monies by selling your papers. But white folks benefit from it because they can go into the bank, and this is where the banks distributed their monies back into the look at any white communities you go into and see how productive that community is. But go to the black communities and see how less productive that. But everybody's monies was into the bank, and the bank and the monies that we put into the bank and the bank selling commercial papers. That's what this country is all about. Then where is our dividends that we put into the bank? Why aren't we getting when the clearance come back and the money goes to the bank, and the bank is selling the papers, and every day the bank makes so much money, then where is our share of that money that they make? We never see it. Matter of fact, we go into the bank and they tell us that if you want a loan, you don't qualify, first of all, after you go through whatever you are trying to do, because they don't want black folks to have monies. They don't want us to have big businesses, but they want our money so they can have it. This is why it's so important that we take control of our own monies. That's why we've been trying to find these black banks. And if we can't find the black banks, then we need to start thinking, and I know we need to start opening up our own financial institutions. We can open up credit unions. It's no great big deal. We can, and at some point, we can even open up banks and insurance companies. We had them before. The huge cash flow that we put into white banks, if we put our own monies back into our own communities and create our own banking institutions, create our own real estate financial institutions, create our own independent, because it's our monies. Why give that monies to a white bank that's making huge amount of monies from selling your papers, but you don't get a dime back? That don't make, it's not ethical. And anything ain't ethical, as far as I'm concerned, it's a sin. So we're doing something wrong, brothers and sisters. And the right thing to do is to be ethical with everything you do. And in this case, we're talking about being ethical as far as business is concerned. And so, again, if there's transactions being made as to where it's using my monies, your monies, the black monies, the white monies, everybody's monies, then why isn't everybody sharing on the dividends and the returns that the monies that our deposits are making? So, again, Brother Aziz, that's what we're coming back from Ramadan, from a beautiful blessing. Back into this Western society's discrimination, because this ain't nothing but flat-out economical discrimination at its worst. So that's my opening. That's my opening, and that will be an ongoing discussion with us, because we have to take control of our cash. We must create financial institutions. Either the ones that call themselves black banks will come forward and start receiving, well, first we need to hear from them and talk to them, but we would be making our deposits into black banks. But if not, then we need to create financial institutions. And we they certainly start off with credit unions and what have you. That's my opening statement, Aziz. I'm going to give you your opening statements, and then we will greet our guests and anybody who have any comments about tonight's show or about anything, especially business-wise, that they know something about. So, Brother Aziz.
Thank you, Brother Bilal. Ingredients to our audience. Yes, holiday, holy days of Ramadan was really good. It was very good, you know. Had gained a lot from that. And a lot went on in the world at that time, especially what affected our government. with the war escalating over in Palestine. And the Zionists, you know, and what's going on over in Russia. In America here, Donald Trump, former president, going on trial for a number of things. And the political world, you know, our government is kind of split up. The country's split. And it affects business tremendously, the way the country's split up, you know. And it's quite clear what the country split up on. The country split on doing the right things as opposed to supporting things that we know is outright evil, just outright evil and wrong by all human standards. But they move on and do this anyway. And many of governments and people have done the same thing, you know, just unspeakable stuff that was crimes against humanity. But in this case, American people are supporting movements and decisions made by our leaders that is a straight-up form of genocide. You know, we can't be going around talking about peace and trying to tell other people how to control their situations, and here we're not controlling our situation. And you know, it's appalling, and it's gotten to the level where American people have to speak out, you know, no matter what our race or our color is, and that we all American people, and we all have to, you know, if we want to enjoy the same good, wholesome benefits that this country has to offer, we as American people have to support what's right. And not be afraid to stand up against what's wrong. It's, you know, and I'm not defending or downing any group of people in the country or any religious group, but if they believe in doing the right things, it's a clear path to what to do is right and what to do is wrong. And we see our leadership has been open, and you know, blatantly open to doing wrong, supporting wrong. So we have to speak out on those things because it affects our businesses tremendously. And in this process of doing wrong, as we see African American business people, businesses that you go in and out the doors every day. Every week, inadvertently, you go through these business doors every week, and we don't see them in our communities no more. Just even the corner stores, we don't see that there anymore. They're run by different groups of people. Everybody is in our community setting up business, except us. And we're talking about the daily businesses, the businesses that you may not think make a lot of money. They're making tons of money. The convenience stores, the laundries, the dry cleaners, all of these are making a lot of money. Needless to say, the big, you know, establishments such as the banks and the other comforts that we need in our community, dental office, the doctor's office, you know, these things that we need in our community, run by folks like us. There's nothing wrong with it. Something that I found out the other day, it was in a New York paper I was reading. We know we have the Uber cab business set up. We got Lyft and a number of other businesses. But if you want to see a real economic move such as, you know, supporting African-American banks, the Latinos have opened up their own cab company. Similar to Lyft and Uber and all that. I can't think of the name. I want to say Latino something. But it's a cab company that's owned by Latinos. And if you don't think they're not going to support their businesses, that cab company, all the way to load the catch cabs, you're wrong. You're narrow-minded, and you can't see what's going on in the world that you live in. This is a real big power play for them as a group of people to set up their own cab company, run by them, And there's no big deal about it that they're doing this. There's nothing wrong with that. Where sometimes our people might see, well, you can't say just it's all black company. Why isn't it? It's an African-American-owned business. This is a Latino-owned business. I don't know, you know, people, if you're observant, if you notice, it's very seldom you'll see Japanese people riding around in Mercedes-Benz. If you see them riding around in an expensive car, it's the top of the line of the Japanese-made car would be a Lexus. That's what you'll see them in. But mostly you see Japanese people, all of them be buying Toyotas. They're supporting the homeland. They're supporting the home country, as well as the Koreans buying the Kias and the other Korean and the Hyundais. And there's nothing unusual or wrong about that. They just—it naturally comes to them to support their own people. But that little twist that was put in our mentality from many, many 400 years ago, going almost 500 years ago—that slavery thing—is still affecting us today and wanting to do business with one another. It's not a 99% thing in our community. 100%, but it's close to both of those of us not being able to do business with one another. I mean, supporting one another's businesses. We really, really got to support one another in a big way. And one of the ways is forthcoming is finding out about the different African American banks that do exist, which many of us didn't know that existed. And we're talking about banks that are totally African-American, owned and operated. And hopefully when we do see, have these bank representatives come on our broadcast, that we will be able to see what type of services do they offer. But we do know when it comes to banking services today, we do know that most all bank transactions are done through the internet, online, you know, not going to a physical location. So some of these banks may not exist in your state because we don't have a black bank for every state. But where they do exist when we do have them come on, it's a golden opportunity to listen up to the programming as well as perhaps doing, you know, some business with a, you know, African-American bank, just starting out with something small, and eventually if your confidence level is there, you go ahead on and, you know, jump on in, and that's what you do business with, whatever the name of it is. But it is important, as this is what our show is about tonight, the importance of putting our money, our dollars in the American banks, black banks, and that, because then we really have some say-so about what they're doing and not doing as far as what banks do when they set up in the community and how do they benefit the community, not by just sucking the money up out of there and charging you fees for getting a hold of your money and allowing you to spend your money in a certain way. No, that's not what we want to know. Any bank will do that when you're putting your money in there and you set up an account. They'd be glad to do that. But what are they doing when it comes to loaning money to businesses that are in our communities or advising and counseling businesses on how to grow better, how to grow financially to serve the constituents in the community as well as outside of the community? That's just some of the benefits of putting our money in the African American banks, and there are other things that go along with it also, helping us, you know, make home improvements, loans for our children to go to college, just a number of things that we don't look at a lot because the banks are not in our communities. And they're not advertising stuff like that. And if we do see this,
advertised somewhere nationally, like on TV or something like that, you can be for sure it's not something that is really going down in our community. Not at all whatsoever. But, you know, we look forward to, and always on this show, the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, we always look forward to inviting businesses to come on our broadcast and let us know what type of business you have and, you know, where you're located and help you can network with like-minded businessmen in other parts of the country that are either doing the type of business you have or have another type of business that, you know, in need of your services, you know, one in need of the other services. And this is the kind of growth we're trying to stimulate because, you know, when you become a conscious-minded person, and, you know, in today's world, a conscious-minded person is a person that has common sense. Because that's a big missing factor today in the world, in this world we live in. People just have a common sense. We got so many things out here that's pulling at one's way of thinking that there's a lot of confusion going on today and people are looking and grasping and want to get some guidance. And the guidance they're getting is from the wrong places, especially financial guidance. I got the AARP today, and one of the things that it was on the front page of this AARP, and it was talking about seniors being aware of scams. Seniors being aware of scams. Seniors thinking that, you know, here's a good business investment, put some of my retirement dollars into, that it could extend my finances further, you know, make things a little more convenient for me in my senior years. And it's a scam where they rip you off for all of your money. This type of thing. And this is where having black banks in our community, this is where they come in advising people how to invest their money, especially our senior people, because they're most vulnerable when it comes to, you know, these scams that exist out there in the different communities. But overall, you know, our listeners, we definitely try to bring on new African-American businesses that may be in your community and let you know that they are there, as well as just bringing on new African-American businesses and letting us know who they are, letting us know what they're about. And we also ask them to become a part of our network. Join in, become a member of our network. Have your business posted on the webpage, business section and that, and come on periodically to, you know, let people know again about you and where you exist. And we have listeners that listen to our program internationally, and they may be interested in your business from outside of the country. So all of these opportunities we try to put out there for our community to let them know that these opportunities are out here for you, and here's who you can contact or here's where you can go to you know, start that type of business or meet the individual that's running that business. And we're going to continue to do that. We look for memberships. We like those that may be listening to us. Become a member of the New Africa Black Belt Business Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. Become a member of our organization and help us to get the word out there. Help us to let our people know about the great opportunity that exists by doing business with one another.
as well as the businesses that do exist now. It's a big undertaking, and we're not saying we're the only ones undertaking this job of getting this message out to our people, but we are trying our best to be an integral part in doing that and letting you know the importance of doing business with one another, and especially how this country's run when it comes to, you know, you don't get nowhere without any money. So, you know, definitely doing business with African-American banks or credit union, as Brother Bilal had mentioned earlier. We may not be able to establish a bank right off, but a credit union, yes, we can get those together. And credit unions, they have the same type of government backing when it comes to the amount of money that you can have back in your in that account. And both of them are $250,000 guaranteed backing if you have that invested in there. The bank goes up or whatever, they're back where you'll get your money. You'll get, it's $250,000 in there or less, you'll get that amount of money. It's guaranteed to get that back. So that's a good thing to know we're in. That's a basic issue or concern that people would have when they put their monies anywhere. What's the, you know, how safe is my money? You know, can I, if I want to draw some out, you know, can I do that? Are there any penalties? All these type of things that people are concerned about when they put their monies or investing them in a bank or a credit union. And credit unions, they offer the same similar advice that banks have in basic banking. There may be some things that banks do that credit unions don't do, but these are the things that people will look into and find out if it does service all your needs. And all banks don't carry the same services either. That is one thing a lot of people don't know, that a bank is there. They carry a number of services, but they may not carry the same services that other banks carry. And I'm talking about something as small as having a notary on the scene there. You know, a lot of banks don't carry a notary there. And it's not a difficult task to become a notary of whatever state it is that you live in to notarize papers. So, you know, all these types of services and things that can exist once you have a community bank or a community credit union that exists where you are and in your neighborhood or in your community. And then when we bring those things to these banks with financial institutions' attention, better give themselves opportunity to better themselves and, you know, and better serve the community. So this is what we look forward to continually promoting on the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. We continue to promote this type of thinking concept and bring about this, you know, type of awareness within our community as well as those that are listening to us wherever you are in whatever part of the world that you're in. So that's how I wanted to start off, Brother Bilal, coming back from this long stay that we've had, you know, being away from our viewers or our listeners, you know. And there's just so much that's been going on in the world that's been affecting us business-wise. That's running the cost off everything, and we just can't talk about business and all that and not understand what's going on over in Palestine
and how American arms makers are making tons of money. This was on the national news that the United States sent 1,800 2,000-pound bombs over to Israel. That, to me, is a crime there. A 2,000-pound bomb destroys an entire city block.
Yep.
Anybody that's listening can go check that out. Destroys an entire city block. Yep. So let's say Washington, D.C. is about 40 city blocks square. You drop 40 bombs on Washington, D.C. out of that 1,800, you still got 1,860 bombs. I mean, you still got 760 bombs left. But now you didn't destroy Washington, D.C. just like that. There's nothing left there. Just a big hole in the ground where you could call it Lake Washington now if you wanted to. And they're doing this here to these people over there. They're sending that kind of stuff over there. And America's supposed to be a peacemaker. That's not the way that we should be making peace with nobody. We're sending arms over there to somebody else who's got all the kind of military weaponry, the war, the weapons of mass destruction, against a group of people who it's not even an army. It might be 50 guys over there with rifles trying to defend a country that's been taken from them years ago, with the aid of different governments. The Palestinian people had their land taken from them a long time ago. And their last little place was there on the Gaza, and they were trying to defend it. Here we are, we're supplying one side with weapons and armament and all that, and they won't let us through or nobody else to take food to people that's out there in the wide open desert. Been told that you go there, if not, you stay in your homes, we're bombing that whole area. It's just against all human standards. The United Nations is against it. All the countries are against it except three countries, America, Britain, and France. Everybody else in the world is against it, including Russia, China. But the United States is the one that's standing in the middle of that. And I think that's just something that we don't support that kind of behavior. And, you know, I wouldn't talk like this, but I'm an American veteran. And a war veteran is Brother Bilal. And we know the destruction of war. And if you're a peacemaker, you don't be sending neither sides of the war the weapons to destroy the other one like that. You just don't do those type of things unless you'd say one thing out of your mouth and doing another thing with your hands. And we know as Americans, we have to voice a dislike for stuff like that, that we don't support that kind of stuff. Because 1,800 bombs, 2,000-pound bombs, is very, very destructive. And I wouldn't want to be the kind of people, I wouldn't want to be a person that they drop one of those around anywhere close to me in my block. Even if I was far away from the debris from the buildings and everything else that was flying in the air would probably kill you. But that's what I wanted to start out saying, Brother Bilal, and we can move on if we...
Yes, well, I see you're right. I mean, what can I say? Sometimes you just have to confess and then get
yes,
it out. So we clearly
yes,
understand what you were saying. But at the same time, getting back to our topic and something that we will be continuing to talk about, and that is African Americans when it comes to finance, because it's cash. that's what this everything is, everything that all the problems, whatever you're talking about, it all has something to do with cash. So when you start talking about Israel, or you start talking about Ukraine, and then you start talking about our military, all of it is about cash, and lots of cash. And again, but the thing about the cash, the same way I was saying earlier, we put our monies into the banks. The bank sells our papers, and that paper makes all kinds of monies for everybody. But African Americans, we don't get our share of that huge amount of money that they're selling our deposits and buying paper and selling our deposits. It goes on from 9 to 5 every day. It's going on right now. Somebody, even after 5, the night businesses are sending their papers in so they can get paid tomorrow, soon as the banks open up. But paper is being sold, I would say, just about 24 hours a day, because somebody's in business and somebody is sending their monies to the bank when the banks open. So our monies are in that bank, and like I said, it's not a small amount of money. It's a very, very large amount of monies, trillions of dollars. And I just used three different business entities, and that was our consumer spending, $1.9 trillion is what the statistics came back on that. That was 2020, and that was for fiscal 2023. And then we have our taxations that we put into taxes, federal taxation, at least $1 trillion. And then the huge amount of monies that we put into our religious organizations, our churches and our masjids. And those monies, again, you're talking another $1 trillion. So African Americans can account for a huge amount of monies that comes through their communities, but it just simply comes through because we have to put our monies into Caucasian banks, and Caucasian banks is making their communities very luxurious with this monies that, because remember, banks, the only way when you have a bank, if you put a bank in a black community, we started a bank, and we put our bank in the black community, and all of the churches and everybody put their monies into this black bank, and all of a sudden this black bank has a huge amount of monies in it because of the deposits that it got from the community of where it exists. Now, this huge amount of money that's in the bank ain't doing nobody no good. Why? Because it's just sitting there. Money have to flow. So those are deposits that the bank receives every day. They want to make those deposits turn into cash. And how do they do that? They do that by lending monies to the communities that the deposits came from. So those deposits now came from this black bank that we started in the black communities. The black bank now is making loans back to the communities. Why? Because it needs the communities to take this money and grow. And once the business person who borrowed the money, once there is growth, and I say growth, once there's a sales cash exchange, not only does the business person make money, but the bank makes money, because the bank and the business person that the bank loaned the money to are now vested with each other. That business person have to pay the bank every day because of the loan and the transactions that is being made. So a bank looks forward to building assets for you because they're building assets for themselves at the same time. Now that huge cash flow that we deposited in the bank is being circulated through our communities for you to get it. The banks want you to get into businesses because they can't make monies unless you are making monies. And that's what, in this case, it's discrimination. They're taking all the monies, and yes, they're putting the monies back into the communities, but they're putting it back into Caucasian communities. They're forgetting that they're stealing your monies, really. And so that huge amount of money that is being made that is going back into the communities because the communities, white communities, can walk into the bank as soon as they open up. If it ain't selling papers, they can walk in there and simply say, I want to open up a head shop. And $50,000, no problem. You ain't got to go through, your zip code, everything is fine. You're Caucasian. You have the, can easily walk in there and borrow monies. But the black person can't go do it because of redlining. The federal government and the retails and everybody said they wanted to keep our communities invaluable. That way they can take our monies, and we don't have any assets coming from no dividends coming from the huge amount of monies. They're using our monies to make money for themselves. That's why we must have black banks, black financial institutions to put our monies. And if we don't have them in existence, then we have to put them in existence by starting, I said, credit unions. And yes, I'm opening up the mics now, so everybody who can hear me, I'll be able now to hear you. We're able now to communicate with each other. So anyone who's been, and I thank you for listening. But now you can join in again. Our conversation, as you've been hearing, is the importance of keeping our monies in our own financial institutions must be put and kept in the black communities so we can have the cash flow going in the black communities. So our mics are open. We welcome your comments. Welcome to the show. Okay, if no one have any comments, then as hosts, we have to just continue to go until maybe you do have comments, but I am going to leave our mics open. So again, anyone who wishes to take themselves off mute and join in on the show, you're welcome to do so. I would just introduce yourself join in. So again, welcome to the show. If you have any comments, we welcome your comments at this time.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and how is everyone this evening?
Oh, okay. Sounds like Oklahoma.
Going out.
How you doing, sister? How are you?
Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah. Everything is well, my brothers and sisters. Everything is okay here in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, how was your ride?
but oh yes, sir. Beautiful.
You're real blessing, yes.
Gave me a chance to reflecting.
Yes, what do you,
working
what
on self.
What do you think about this conversation? We was talking about depositing monies in African American financial institutions are stored.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We're going to have to, you know, back in the day when we had the most socks and the more change person used to squeeze, you had to start going in there and supporting. We're going to have to support our black banks so that we can start black businesses and black opportunities in our own areas of town. That's the only way we're going to make it. That's the only way because these Caucasians, see, what we don't understand or might not realize, but I'm coming to realize, is that they cannot afford to give us reparations. If they gave us reparations, where would they be?
Thank you.
Where would they be?
They depend
on us as much today as they did back in the days of the house nigger and the field negro.
Yeah.
I'm telling you like it is. But I want to know, because, I mean, yes, when we make the decision, I heard Brother, when he named off all the banks, he and Sister Swan are doing a magnificent job. But First Security here in Oklahoma City, I know exactly where that bank is. But we're going to have to, be supporters and then make sure they are reciprocate. We don't need this out of our own either.
You know, you're making a very good point there, because one of the things that I've sort of been looking into ever since some of this was mentioned. As a matter of fact, I even called a couple of these banks that was referred to me as black banks, and From speaking to one or two of them, they was very intimidated about being considered a black bank. That word black, I think, was and the only reason I can
was
see where...
Off, I think it was a turn-off, brother? Well, I tell you what, it should be a turn-on. Because I can't think of any business that don't want to be in the black. You think Wall Street don't want to be in the black? You think these out here with these businesses and places don't want to be? Everybody wants to be in the black, but the black and then they holler about, oh, you talk about black. Yeah. Don't you want to be in the black at the end of the year? Any owner wants to be in the black.
No, the point is something else.
Yes, sir.
The point is that these banks, because they've been around for a while, that is, and yes, they came from the time of the Black Belt business districts back years ago, but many of them are still in existence. But I am coming to find out that many, even though they have the name Black this or the name Black that, you know, they are bought out by white folks. White folks have purchased their names, purchased their business, and they can carry on stealing that business name, but they're owned by white corporations or white investors, and they white investors don't want to know too much about you being black. You know, you are the name or whatever your business is, but this black thing, and so by us trying to ask them to come on, they like you said, they're hesitant because they realize they cannot represent themselves as being black or a black bank. They have to be just whatever the name of their bank is.
Neighborhood.
But as far as saying that we are black, and that's because they've been bought out, and many of them have. And so they still have the black name operating and false pretense, but
You know what, Uncle Owen? Back in the day, you used to tell us, you don't need Niagara Falls to take a bath. Remember that when you say that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Well, you don't need a whole bunch of banks for us to make our deposits and do our business. So the ones who don't want to, the ones who don't want to participate and don't want to come out, well, we can't be coming back. Well, then we don't want to do business with you. Because, see, it's time for us to stand up now. If we ever going to be black and proud, the time to step up to the plate is now. But, brothers, I want to ask another question because there's so much going on. Did you hear about the young man in Mississippi that was run over, the policeman running him over, 17 years old?
Didn't hear that one.
And got in his cruiser. And it was like three guys. They were walking home from maybe basketball practice or whatever and just doing what like kids do. And he just ran up on them. He wanted to talk to them, whatever he wanted to do. And I guess they wasn't acting the way he wanted them to act. That man got in his car and ran that child over them dead.
Yeah.
Now, and I don't even think he got a day off work for doing it.
Listen, it's an ongoing thing with as far as white I don't know how long it's going to take before we really realize we're dealing with a human being that hates you. And they want you to be inferior to them.
Yes, indeed.
We're not showing this inferiority that they want us to see.
I know, and it's just they can't rest at night. But also, the brother was talking about over there in, back in the Gaza Strip. I thought the Gaza Strip was supposed to have been set aside that no one was going to cause problems there, Brother Aziz. Now you were speaking of the way they're doing, but why are they dropping food? And then sending in bombs. We got to get on one side of the fence or the. And another thing, with this Bezos and all those apartheid people, we don't need apartheid money in America.
Right.
Yes, and I don't feel that we don't need apartheid money. We don't need Australian money. If you come here with the, we don't need that apartheid in our banks. They come in here with these deep pockets and setting up, buying Teslas and buying these companies and internet. No. Back in the day, remember back in, not too long ago, back maybe the late 70s and early 80s, when they were finding all those old Nazi sergeants and captains and stuff, hid out here in America, trying to finish out their days after all they done to the people over there, kill them and stuff. They gonna come here in America and hide out their days. Well, that's the same thing these Bezos people are doing. We can't have that. We don't need it. Like they say, all money, brothers and sisters, is not good money. Now, I don't know when this phone gonna cut us off. Some hush. As-salamu alaykum.
No. The sister makes a brother Aziz.
Yes.
30 days, I thought it was going to be rather quiet, but I can see that there's concern. There are big concerns in our communities, but we know that, and this is why we must find our true independence. But in order to be independent, you must be able to afford to be independent. We must be able to afford to circulate our own monies that would make us powerful again. Powerful like it was in the days of Marcus Garvey. Powerful as it was like it was during the days of the Black Wall Street and the Black Wall Street Business District. Those were some powerful financial days in our times, but it was all destroyed violently by white folks. Because I don't know what it's going to take for black folks to realize white folks hate you, especially when you start talking about I'm going up the ladder. So, again, financial institutions. If we have to start them ourselves, like I said, we can start credit unions. The whole thing is to be able to have a financial institution where we can deposit our monies into that financial institution, and that financial institution can disperse that monies back into our communities where the financial institution is growing and the community is growing. So that's what having black banks and having your own deposits in your own communities can do. It can circulate monies right back into the black. That's why you don't see any banks in the black communities. White folks don't want you to have that independence and you having the power to circulate your monies. So, again, we have to open up our own financial institutions and circulate our back into our communities. Brothers and sisters, like I said earlier, our mics are open. If you can hear us now, we can certainly hear you. And we look forward to a conversation where we can all sort of conversate and give our opinions like the sister from Oklahoma just did. Our mics are open. We welcome your comments. Our mics are open.
Hello, everyone. This is Clynestra. I am Brother Shahid's daughter. How is everyone?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Great. Hey, Clynestra.
Hey, Dad.
I'm surprised you came on the show.
Absolutely. I have this conversation with my father all the time. If we can circulate our wealth with each other, then, as you said earlier, brother, we'll be able to have a Black Wall Street again. But I think that we need to empower the youth. The African-American youth of today is a little bit different than before. And they are actually willing to listen. If we can get them to start banking with a black institution, I've had conversations with younger individuals in their early 20s and 30s. They are all about circulating money within our community. However, they just don't know how. So if we give them the intelligence, I think they will follow. And then we will be spreading generational wealth.
You know, sister, you we welcome so much having you on the show. I mean, it's almost like you're almost a godsend because you are in that age where what you're trying to talk about or what you're saying, you have to be the messenger. To the young communities, because you're absolutely right. Our whole being, when I retired as a financial planner, and this was over 10 years ago, I started this business organization along with your father, and our purpose for starting it was because as a retired financial planner, who had professionals working with me, such as estate planners and CPAs, accountants, and having the three of us started what is going on today. Saying that to say, we want to share our professionalism because, yes, we do have it. We're well-educated, worked our professional fields. Our professional fields took care of us and our families, put our kids through college and what have you, and now we're retired. But rather than going home and saying, watching the TV, we're saying we want to share our professionalism at no cost with the community. And yes, our emphasis is the black communities and our young folks. And you're absolutely right. I think our young folks have an energy that if it's cultivated in the right direction, we have someone, because the young folks ain't worried about these little jobs. They want something much bigger. And they have the energy. So, absent, but so sister, what I'm saying, I think I'm trying to convince you to be more involved with our association. Become a part of the organization that we're trying to put together, and so you can go out and share it, and we will be supporting you. So, like I said, welcome aboard, and I hope you we can have you in a continuing supporter and a continuing person to come on to the show. Because yes,
well, thank you for the invitation, brother. Thank you for the invitation.
Certainly, I hope you accept.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on, Kavad.
Excellent, brother.
Yeah, I see so many young individuals that are coming into money, and they just don't know what to do with it. I'll give you a quick for instance. There is a younger Caucasian man that lives in my area, and he actually has a YouTube show on how he goes to buy basically storages that people have defaulted on. So he gets these storages for little or nothing. Well, his last show that he did was very concerning to me. He went to a storage that was here locally. It was obviously owned by a sister. And she had some sort of business in which she was selling beauty supply goods.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was going through some of the boxes, he ran across some financial papers. Well, this lady, she at one point made $500,000 one year.
Yeah.
One year she made $300,000. And now she has a storage that she went and defaulted on. That's concerning to me. And I feel like if that individual had have had the correct financial guidance from someone like yourself that is a financial planner, such as things like setting up a trust so that no one can just take your belongings just easily, go in and snatch all. And those are things that financial institutions can provide. Your big banks like Wells Fargo and Bank of America, they offer these services each and every day, but we just don't know the information. But my thing is, I don't want to tell someone how to get a trust or how to go into financial planning with a financial advisor, and it's at the big banks. I would rather prefer to have those type of conversations when I can go to them. They're like, oh, really? That's great. I didn't know I could do that. And then guide them towards a bank that is black owned. And that's the way that will spread generational wealth. Because as they were going through her storage, they found items belonging to children. So if that sister had known that, she could be spreading that information to her children. And she may be not, she might not have been out of business as of now, where somebody can just go to her storage and buy her things, her belongings. So that's concerning to me, because at one point, obviously, this sister was making good income, and then she just lost it all.
Hold on. After COVID, now, how long had the sister been? Because after COVID, a lot of stuff happened to a lot of small businesses, and they never recovered. They was doing quite well before COVID. But after COVID, where they couldn't get, wasn't able to do anything, many of them never recovered from it financially.
And brother, I will tell you this. I have spoken to so many African Americans that had small businesses that couldn't make it through COVID, because every crook that was alive could get a PPP loan, but the individuals who actually had sustaining businesses could not qualify for any of those government loans. It's just sad. It's ridiculous.
It comes out like that. You're absolutely right, sister. Like I said, the only way these problems will multiply until professionals just like yourself step up to the plate. And that's what we, you know, like I said, we share financial, a lot of good financial information comes through this station as to where it would normally cost you hundreds of dollars if you came into our office back in the day and picked up stuff like a financial plan and estate planning, income planning and whatever. It was, but now a taxation dealing with the final, I can't even think of the name of it, probate administration. We covered some, and we still do. We still do. But you're absolutely right. That's what we're are about, and we're trying to spread that to many, many other states as to where other professionals, and we're getting that. Other professionals are coming on, and like you said, a sister that was a speaker from Oklahoma and of many other states, we all are sharing very good professional advice with our audience. So, like I said, thanks so much.
Thank you, Claire.
You did a wonderful job. Thanks so much, because there are so many points that you're making that we're trying to cover and we need to cover. But let me just say this, sister. One of the things I try to emphasize when I get around a group of young folks, I try to get them to become financially vested with each other, and I do it by assuring them how easy they could have an LLC. And and again, if each one of them had $5,000 or $10,000, and there's a group of 10 of them, or maybe a group of 20, you don't want too many in your group, but let's say a group of 10, and each one of you come up with your $10,000, there's your business, whatever business you wanted to think about going into, there it is, and making it an LLC, the business is being paid, and of course you just get paid from the business that you own. So getting these young men to become vested in each other and saying, you can start a filler station as to where you could have a Sunoco filler station or a franchise that you wanted to start it, something in between $150,000 range that you want to open. But that's how easy African Americans can get into business is by not thinking so much I want to do it all myself, but thinking how can I get 10 other investors, and we can be in
absolutely
in a couple of weeks. That's one of the emphasis I try to put on the young folks and the young groups. Man, you guys you got to sling money wherever you got it. Each one of you throw up $10,000 and go ahead and have a legit business going on. And whatever slinging you're doing, they ain't got nothing to do with me. But here's this legit business. And so I look forward to emphasizing going into business with young folks. I really do. Like I said,
absolutely.
Well,
if we could just get them to learn something as simple as home ownership or maybe going into real estate, because
well,
we built this country and we don't own any of it. And that's just concerning to me.
Well, that's because we give our monies away. We go into these banks every day and we just give it to them. We ask no questions. We ain't on no board of directors. We just go in and give it to them. Trillions of dollars. We just go and give it to them. And they become white supremacists. They're the ones who will suppress because they got everything. We give them everything.
It's concerning, especially being that we are the lowest percentage of the American population. However, we're the largest spender. And yet we don't see anything. We don't see any benefit from that. And I'm trying, the young people that I run across, I'm trying to get them to understand that it's not the system, it's us, because we don't band together as a whole.
Thank you. There you go. We have the power. I mean, just our audience right now, I'm looking at our audience that's listening to our show. Our audience tonight could start, like I said, your franchises, this is a Sunoco filling station or something where you can franchise for $100,000 or in that range. We have enough participants right now in our listening audience, like I said, to start a business like that in the next 10 days. And it all depends on how vested we become as African Americans. But owning business, and especially starting a credit union, brother, that credit union, we need that. I mean, we should have credit unions all over this country, and have credit unions turn us into banks. But the credit union, and look at the and like I said, the credit union. It's got to make money because, again, you have so many African Americans that's going to be putting monies into your credit union, and we're doing it all together collectively. We're waiting for the. Hey man, it's a matter just of, like I said, how serious we are as far as having economical freedom. Economical power. Mm-hmm. And that same power, like I said, black folks had during the time of Marcus Garvey, during the time of the Black Belt Wall Street that ran all the way from Texas all the way to us, up to Chicago, all through New York. And, I mean, businesses flourishing, banks. We had our own insurance companies. We had our own real estate companies. We even had our own airports. That's how independent the Black Belt Business District was during the time of our famously known Black Wall Street. That was a powerful financial history, brothers and sisters. And how did we lose integration? The black communities and integrated into the white communities.
I had that discussion with my father many times that I think integration is actually the worst thing that ever happened to us.
The worst, extremely worst. But now that we're realizing and seeing how we're being taken, we now must go back. And the way we go back, we got to first start having our monies and our own banks. Because that's what's gonna it's cash that's gonna take us back, and it's cash that's gonna make our communities better than the integrated communities that you left. Because one thing about African Americans, they know how to live and style, especially once they start making money. So
absolutely.
It's up to the power belongs to us. The financial power belongs to our churches. And that's the key. The day that our churches start putting monies back into our own see, it's the churches and all like that that should be starting these credit unions because of the huge amount of money they put into white banks. Put that money back into our own banks. And then let our own banks start business. Because banks can't make monies unless they're lending monies back to the black communities or the communities where the deposits came from. And now both of them become vested with each other, and they share each other's equity as they grow. Brother, that's a capitalist society, but we give our money, trillions of dollars, to these white folks, and they send it to a war, like I said, the bombs dropping on the folks. All of, and notice that all this money that they send out to peacekeepers is all to white nations. Ain't a daggone dime anybody trying to keep no peace in Africa, nowhere else in the world. But wherever these white folks are over there in Israel, ain't nothing but a bunch of, like you said, Europeans who left Germany and the United States. Now, we know the history that went on over there. That's another thing. Our show tonight is what we have to do. And the first thing we have to do, we need to start financial institutions. Our brothers and sisters, you can hear us. Like I said, everybody's mics is open. We invite you to come on and join in. And we'll start right now. Again, if you can hear you, welcome to the show. Your mics are open.
Salaam alaikum, Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz and the listening audience tonight. Can you hear me?
You still get me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm hearing myself twice.
You're too close.
I'll try something, but if you can hear me okay, I truly wanted to let you know that I think this is a great conversation that we are having tonight, and I would truly like for it to continue even into the beyond the 8 o'clock time period, because this is essential for us to talk about. So I'm certainly on board with the topic of this conversation for tonight. So I just wanted to let you know that.
All right.
I wish so much you was.
Yeah, it's
as to where you.
It might be one of the people that's listening out there might be close to something.
There's something that you.
I don't know what it is. But I'm going to hang up and call back in, and maybe that'll help.
You know what? Sounds like the background diminished or disappeared.
Okay, I changed locations. Yes. Okay. Is this better?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, I just changed locations. So, excellent conversation. And we do need our black banks, but we need our black banks to be responsible to us and to contribute to the black community. And historically, when Black Wall Street was developing from Oklahoma, Atlanta into Durham, that was the incentive. But it seems like as the older leaders who initiated the black economics passed on, the ones who inherited that responsibility did not continue with the same objectives. And I think that we have to, if we're going to really try to get our black banks to start working again in the black community, they have truly got to be responsible to us and help the community push forward programs that will benefit the community and especially our youth. And I think our banks left us before we left them. But they're going to have to come back to us with a new vigor to support the black community and especially our young people who are struggling with identity, with just basic understanding and just basic skills, academic skills and technical skills. And this is what, mm-hmm. it's not all about us wanting them. They have to want us as well. And so I wanted to make that comment because I have been given a lot of thought and really looking at some of the positions that the black banks are taking. And I'm not seeing it for our community, but I certainly want to be a part of that group that encourage the black banks to come back into the community and be a part of where we are now and help us grow, and we will help them grow. So those were my comments for the evening.
You know, Sister Aisha, I think that...
Yes, I hear you.
Everything you're saying is right on point, but I think we may have to be a little proactive on this, meaning that we may have to send information to these banks, letting them know as a community in many different states, because I'm looking on my program right now and I can see we've got at least 4 different states on here. But we know we have many others. But informing these black banks that we know, that we have identified, that of these topics that we've been talking about, letting them know that we do them, because one thing I said about these black banks, they I think they've been bought out, and of course, if you've been bought out, you are now more or less a contraband to whoever bought you. And, it's just like that. And so, which means that they're being ruled by whoever is their directors now. The CEO is no the major stockholder. They're no longer black. So,
well, in order to be classified as the black bank, black population individuals have to hold at least 51% of shares in the bank. But as you say, that doesn't mean that they are running anything. That 51% can be a very silent.
They don't have the 51% anymore. They've been bought out. So whoever bought them out, the top monies that bought them is the 51%, or could it even be higher?
Mm.
But no, they don't. They don't have 51% anymore.
I see.
No, they don't. I tell you, they're contrabands. They've been purchased, and once you've been purchased by a Caucasian, you can't exemplify being too black. We purchase your name. They want you to continue your black name because that's what the community has been used to doing business with. But as far as your business planning, that has been changed. Will do your plannings for you. And like I said, you are more or less, you work for us now. And that's what I think is happening. And many of these black banks, and I see it because I spoke to one or two. And after that, I said, let me leave this alone, because I'll be much more direct with them, and I'm trying to be indirect and very nice and considerate. but I can tell when I'm dealing with I can't answer your question. And you're black Wall Street, Black Belt Wall Street, and you're coming on a Black Belt Wall Street show. I have to speak to someone and see if we can get approved. That type of
thing. I see.
So, yes, that's what I'm saying. We need black financial institutions, but in many cases, you may find you may have to incorporate your own credit union. And then there's no reason why we couldn't easily do that. If we can put trillions of dollars into white banks, why can't we put trillions of dollars into financing a 1,000 credit unions across the country and have our business and our accountants and our marketing representatives, our business representatives. I mean, in other words, all of these folks would be working. There'd be jobs for them because when you start these financial institutions, you got to have employees. There's a whole lot of that's what I mean about that large cash flow. That's going to start is we started a credit union, and the credit union comes with many employees that it's going to take, and the experts that it's going to take to run that credit union. Anybody just can't run a credit union. You have to have a financial expert such as myself and many others to run the credit union. But we have those experts in our communities. They're all over the community. They work for somebody. They work for a salary when they should be the director of their own business or financial banks and what have you, in control of millions and billions of dollars, and we're floating these monies now as to where the monies can circulate. And managers and, my goodness, how big could it, African-Americans, the power that we have, if we would come together, especially our churches and our masjids, but the churches are the big ones. If they would start keeping their monies in the black communities and starting their own financial institutions as to where now they can that's what I mean. Rather than 1,000 credit unions, now you've got tens of thousands all over the country. And so which means we can start circulating our monies in black communities all over the country, putting in businesses and dealing communities and using all of the experts, the millions of experts with their degrees in economics and business and statistics, and I mean, it just goes on and on. You know, so it's huge, but it's all in our power. Only thing we have to do is come together, put our funds together, and put our business plans together, and let it all happen. So Black Belt Wall Street, we ask you. That's what this station is all about, is business and economics, and our emphasis is of black businesses. We make no bones about our emphasis, but nothing discriminatory about us. We just know that we have, if we as African Americans don't start taking on economic situation, believe it, there is no other groups, the federal government. The federal government is the one who started redlining. The federal government never took redlining away from the laws of this country. We as African Americans have to overcome that type of a stupidity. But we can call it stupidity, but they're making a lot of money on their illiteracy, which is no more than racism. So again, brothers and sisters, we have the power. It's just a matter of how tested we can be. Like I said, our power is in our churches. That's a huge amount of money is going into, the banks. What else? Those white banks are making so much money every money that when they sell our papers, all of that money is, and they keep it in there. Be something else if they would be fair and send it back to the communities where they know the deposits came from and have our own financial institutions in our own community. Now, Brother Aziz and I went to the Department of Commerce just a few months ago to find out what's going on as far as monies that's supposed to be allocated back to the black communities. Every federal agency down there said that they had over how many billions of dollars that they said they all had, Brother Aziz? Brother Aziz, I know you're still with
me.
When we went down to Department of Commerce, and they were talking billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, every agency, not only the Department of Commerce, but every agency that Joe said that they had all of this money waiting to be allocated to the black communities. But the reason that the money is not being allocated, our paperwork is not in order.
That's what they were saying.
Our paperwork is not in order.
Brother Blau, I'm sorry to cut across. I just want to get clarification. What do you mean when they were saying our paperwork wasn't in order?
I'm glad you asked me that question. Excuse me for laughing, but I wish you had been there. You know, like I said, I knew exactly where he was coming from when they said it, but see, they said our paperwork is not in order to. Not to be too direct. But what they're actually saying is that when we come in and come in with a business plan and bring it into a bank, and we present our business plan to the bank, and, you know, I want a hairdresser and I want a beauty shop or whatever, and here's my business plan of how we're going to make money. They are saying that even though you got your remarks good, but when it comes to your accounting, accounting and finance, that's not included. In other words, you didn't have a CPA to certify your business statement. And most African Americans, CPAs are extremely expensive, and didn't use a CPA, but they're saying because your stuff wasn't certified by a professional, you can't show where you qualify. Just something, you know, like I said to them, I said, listen. If that's the case, because I know what you got, I stood up when they asked for questions, and I asked the same thing that you asked me about your paperwork is not in order, and so and they explained to me just what I just said, that there wasn't a professional a financial person that can certify your business plan. So I told them, I said, in the meantime, these trillions of dollars that we're putting into your bank every Sunday, if our paperwork is not in order for us to receive our monies back into our communities in kind like it was deposited, then what are you doing with the black man's money? Are you putting it in escrow and you're leaving it in escrow until we get our paperwork ordered? Are you using the black man's money along with your own money and continue to make this huge amount of money and nobody is benefiting it but the white communities? We see that's happening. But the black communities, that you're telling me that until our paperwork is in order, all these billions of dollars these agencies got that should be distributed to the black communities is not going anywhere because you said our paperwork is not in order. I said,
well, Brother Blau, not to cut across, I'm wondering, do these small businesses that are trying to apply for these loans even understand that they're supposed to have a CPA certify their business plan?
Let me say this, sister. As far as a certified a CPA, if I am opening an LLC, and I'm opening an LLC for $25,000, or maybe even less, do you think that the banks is going to hassle me to have a certified auditor to order such a small loan? Now, the thing of it is, a Caucasian can walk into these banks from 9 to 5 and walk in there and say, I want $50,000 for such and such business. May not even have to, ain't got to have no business plan. Just go in there and say, I want this and I want this. It's up to the bank. And it's up to the bank to look you in the eye and say, I'm going to give you this loan or I won't. Black, white folks can get monies. I mean, how quick can you go into the, they're begging you to come on in and take this loan or that loan. But that black man go in there and talk about, or the black woman, and talk about, that's what the redlining is all about. It's meant to say, don't lend these folks business monies. That's why they don't have black businesses in black communities. It's intentional. They don't, it's discrimination. And so that's what they mean when they say your paperwork is not in order. No, CPAs and certified financial planners, you think white folks use them? I mean, I can tell you right now, when it comes to talking about using professional financial planners, only around 15 or 20%. Of Americans, and these are folks who make good monies. Folks with small monies don't $100,000, $300,000 or less. You might be in a situation where you may have to have an audit done, but like I said, those type of smaller loans, nobody's going to. This business of saying your paperwork is not in order is just a good, convenient way for another excuse as to why they shouldn't allocate those monies that they have. They said they have in all these agencies, these billions of dollars. They said they have in each agency is ready to be allocated to the black communities, but we ain't sending it out because their paperwork is not. A bunch of mess. A bunch, and it's been going on for years.
Well, Brother Blau, we have plenty of black CPAs. So what if, just for the heck of it, a CPA just loaned out their services to test the waters, what do you think the outcome would be then?
That would be absolutely wonderful, but it would be absolutely wonderful. I'm stuttering because I'm wondering which CPA is going to give up
their time,
the money that they make, and see how to do
it.
Wonderful, but the reality, I don't see the reality of that. I mean, CPAs, these folks make $200 or $300 an hour, and I am going to do it for free. I mean, I wish it could be like that. I can say that those like myself who are retired, I've been doing this. A lot of these broadcasters trying to get professional financial advice through the blog radio and Black Belt Wall Street. We do it for free. And I bring on estate planners, CPAs, financial planners, real estate brokers. Many of them come on and share information, but most of them that come on are still in business. I mean, they'll come on and do me a favor or something like that. They'll do it for free, but it's hard to get these professionals to say I'm gonna do it for free. But it would be wonderful if they did. But at the same time, if we could get all of the professionals and non-professionals to invest jointly into whatever business we decide collectively to start, remember the CPA and a financial planner and anybody else who is involved in the business, now they are willing to work, and it ain't so much for free. They're working because we want to make our business ready for operation, and we want to make it as professional as we can. So we're working together jointly because we started a business together. And now you get the best of your CPAs and your marketing representatives, your bankers, and your everybody's in on it because we own the business together. And that's what joint business investments in African-American communities, and we need these joint business investors because we have a situation where we're giving away trillions of dollars, and if we circulate those trillions of dollars back into our own values, now we're wealthy and we're not making someone else wealthy. So,
well, Brother Bob, I appreciate you explaining that because now that makes more sense. It makes more sense what you were saying earlier when you were explaining that several people should band together and start an LLC. So now I see where you're coming from. So I appreciate you explaining that.
Yeah, well, thank you. But like this, sister, you stay with us. I like you. You brought out some very good points. And like I said, I really want to have young folks, professional like yourself, working with us because that's who is going to listen to you, is the young person. Young folks, you take somebody like myself, and they first thing they're saying, Mr. This and Mr. That. See, I got their respect like someone who would be a senior in their family. And but I would rather have where we could talk business and become business as far as I am concerned in having business conversations. It should be business, but at the same time, make it as sociable as you possibly can. And that's why I remember back in the days where I was canvassing for business, I would go into some luxurious places. Remember, you have to spend money to make money. And I might spend a couple hundred dollars bringing some clients around me where, you know, I'm sharing in on the cocktails, or I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And at the same time, I'm buying them. I'm buying my, buying until I can find me a client. And if I spent $200, and if I got one client, it was worth it because chances are I'm going to make a couple $1,000s or more just from the one client. So sometimes it takes a little money to make money, but whatever works, you know. But not getting back to my old clientele working days. But become invested, financially vested. And like I said, when we can get our churches, the day we can get our churches to start creating their own financial institutions where all of our monies can go into the financial institution in our own communities, and that financial institution can start bringing on equities between the communities and the financial institution. So we're coming right on up to our closing time. Brothers and sisters, again, any comments before we close out? We welcome your comments.
Brother Belial, I would like to...
Go right ahead.
Yeah,
go right ahead.
Yeah, that was
no, let the sister go ahead. I think I have. I don't know what's wrong with my connection. But this has been a great discussion. So let's keep this going. Hopefully next week, as we talk about disaster preparedness on next week.
Oh yes, we're going great. To.
Great.
This was an opening. What it is? We're going to be actually bringing on the show. So this is a opening for you can get ready for those black bankers to come on the show, and we'll be ready to entertain them and ask them the type of questions we need to ask them. So again, until next week, brothers and sisters, we will continue the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. And remember, brothers and sisters, we need your memberships. Give us a call. Send us an email, nabassc@gmail.com. We need your memberships, nabassc@gmail.com. We love to hear from you, and we'd love to put you on our mail out listing list so you'll know what our programs will be. So send us an email so we can put you on our email list. Until next week, this is New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street. Good evening.
Choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you had your white teacher? black preacher. Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose,
my brothers?